Building an entire marketing plan to get to 1,000 customers is no small task. Well, watch Kip and I do it with ChatGPT in under 30 minutes. And better yet, we do it with the likes of Gary Vaynerchuk, Seth Godin, and other incredible marketers helping us do it through ChatGPT itself. I'm Kieran Flanagan, CMO over at Zapier. I'm here as always with Kip Bodner, the CMO over at HubSpot. Let's get into today's show.
There is no secret formula for scaling customer support and boosting customer satisfaction. But there is the all-new HubSpot Service Hub, bringing service and support together in one platform so you can deliver the best experiences possible and free up a rep's time with AI-powered help desk, all so you can keep customers happy. Secrets out. Service Hub is a game changer. Visit HubSpot.com/service to learn more.
Kieran, we got a fun one today. We're going to build a marketing strategy. And you and I, we've built some marketing strategies in our time, but this time we're going to do it together, and we're going to have a special guest, ChatGPT, that is going to help us build a marketing strategy that would get us to our first 1,000 customers as a business.
This is a real working session. We don't really have an outline, and we don't know how ChatGPT is going to be able to perform the task we give it, so this is a good example of like us just integrating ChatGPT into a workflow and seeing where it actually performs to the point where you can like use it, ship things from it, or where it's useful or where it's not useful at all. And I think this is a good example of like how people listen to this podcast can start to just think about, all right, what are ways that I can start to figure out if ChatGPT can help me in my everyday work or not? And it's coming to you the day that Claude 3 released yesterday. So maybe we'll like repeat the motions at some point through Claude 3 and compare those two.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I've heard good things about Claude 3. I got to jump on and spend some time there. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, the wildest tweet, I sent it to you last night. The wildest tweet was the actual Claude 3 realizing that some of the queries it was being queried with were like tests, right? Yeah. You're trying to test that
trying to
model.
See how good it was.
Yeah, the needle in the haystack test. And it's like, here's the answer. And plus, I know that you're testing me. Just know that I know that you're testing me. You're like, oh, like if it knows we're testing it, what else is it going to know and be able to manipulate dumb humans with? Pretty awesome, pretty scary.
What I love about Kieran is that you equally love AI and are terrified of AGI all at the same time. It's like, I think one of your more enduring qualities.
Well, no different from Sam Altman.
That's true.
I know he's doing it for regulatory capture for the most part to try to build his monopoly. But he still, every interview is like, we're near AGI. AGI could end humanity. This could be terrible. So
before we get into today's show, Kieran, though, I would like to pat ourselves on the back because it would have been very easy instead of doing a show all about marketing strategy and how to help people to just do a 30-minute gossip session on the Elon suing Sam Altman and OpenAI.
The whole history of OpenAI
and Elon and just like completely tear that down TMZ style. And we didn't. I commend us for not doing that.
We're going to give you actionable, practical uses for AI versus the kind of more TMZ version of what's happening over in Silicon Valley.
Which I love.
So let's do the setup, right? So I think the setup is, and again, this is the example we're going to use. We're going to set it up and describe the fact that we want to build a marketing plan to get us to 1,000 customers. And so if you are listening on the RSS feed, this is going to be a great show. But if you really want to get the full value and follow along and maybe actually follow these steps to see how to use ChatGPT, you really do need to go on over and watch us on YouTube and subscribe to that YouTube channel for more content like this.
Subscribe, leave us a comment. Please, please. We love the YouTubes. We get feedback that we push YouTube too much, Kieran. We don't care. We love it.
No.
Sorry. Unapologetic, baby.
We want to push all the YouTubes. All right, cool. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to kind of describe it, the RSS feed, but you can watch along on YouTube.
Yep.
So we're going to say we're the head of a marketing technology company. We have a SaaS product for a sales team. I'm working on a marketing plan that can help me reach 1,000 customers. The cool thing is you can basically say who you want that marketing plan to be influenced by. So I've picked Seth Godin for brand and Gary Vaynerchuk for social media marketing. And who is this? Kieran Flanagan's approach to traffic and user acquisition.
There's a couple gems in this setup. First of all, I feel like you're doing this for one of the companies you're an angel investor in, first of all. Is that true or untrue?
Well, I'm an investor in a lot of companies and they all need attracting customers, so.
All right, so it's partially true.
Yeah, so I am an investor in a really great sales tool. This is not that tool, actually. You'll see.
Okay.
This is a tool that I have talked to you about.
Oh,
so
okay.
So I'm going to have to give it the context on the tool, so. But you like my three picks, right? Me.
You picked yourself. I mean, that's just fantastic that you're like, you know who's great? Seth Godin. You know who's also great? Gary Vaynerchuk. You know who's also great? Yeah. Me. I'm awesome.
I love it, right?
Fantastic start. I love where you're going with this so far.
What ChatGPT will do is like, if you don't tell it, it will probably just come back and start building the marketing plan. I don't know if you've seen that. You ask it something, yes, and before you have a chance to finish, give it all the context because you're trying to give it to piecemeal it. It will just go off and do the thing. So I say, please confirm you understand before we actually get going. You see, the other thing I say is, this exercise is incredibly important to my career. Like, I want it to feel like it's bought into my career. I need you to excel and make this the best marketing plan that has ever been done.
Kieran is also a master of hyping up the AI in prompts.
I want the AI to be my friend.
Sometime when you no longer have a job because AI has taken it, Kieran, your new job will be like AI motivational coach, and it's going to be great. Yeah. What do you do for a living? I coach AI, baby.
I'll be the Tony Robbins of AI agents.
Totally. So
I'll just be me and a room full of monitors.
I mean, it's kind of perfect for you. You wouldn't actually ever have to talk to humans.
I don't have to. This is the perfect job.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I would enjoy being a motivational speaker, but not to humans.
Exactly.
This could be a good pick.
The only motivational speaker by text.
All right, it's going to give us all the stuff to say. It understands all this stuff, right? So, okay we can get into the good stuff. I need to give it context, right? Like,
you do.
Imagine ChatGPT is your intern or your colleague or your employee. The results it will give you is really based upon how good the context is.
How good is the brief? Your prompt is like the version of a creative brief, right? And the more complete you can make it, the more clear and the more context you can provide in it, the better ChatGPT is going to do, right?
So what I asked it to do is build a differentiated marketing plan. I said, consider marketing tactics for each marketing channel. Think about counterintuitive approaches. So don't give us any best practice advice. I don't want any best practice advice. Best practice advice sucks.
I like that you were like, I don't want any best practice advice. We love that.
Let's see if it actually does that. So I described the product. So if you decide to build this product, you have to actually reach out to Kip and I, and we may angel invest. We get dibs. So the product is for salespeople. It makes it easier for sales to add all the customer interactions to CRM, right? Without the rep needing to do anything. The app simply clicks a button. It connects to all of their comm channels. AI extracts the most important information and updates the contact records. What makes the app different is it's 10x is the value of any CRM by enriching the contact records with better data and making it much easier to market those contacts. The market's crowded. There's a lot of apps with similar features. The CRMs themselves may actually decide to build these features if we become popular enough. So we have to go really fast. Then I give it a goal. The goal is to acquire 1,000 customers. I say assumed conversion rate of 5%, which means we roughly need 20,000 web visits.
And what period of time are we getting these 1,000 customers if we want to?
Over an annual year.
Over 12 months.
Over a 3-month period. Over 3 months. All right. This is a B2C to B app. Marketing plan, again, should be differentiated. Again, take inspiration from these incredible marketers, including this majestic marketer, Kieran Flanagan.
Yeah, I hear it's got great sweaters.
Do it short and concise. Get format by giving the marketing channel. And then there's 3 to 5 differentiated marketing tactics to grow demand for product through that channel. So we can click this and then we can actually see what tactics it gives us back and see if we would actually implement any of them.
Let's go.
And then the next thing we can do is grade these things and see which ones we want to actually extrapolate on.
I like that.
Here's how you can approach each channel with a fresh and unconventional strategy. So you can see here, it's already starting to pick out. This is why it's really cool
it's
when you
so
set
good,
that context
man.
Up. It starts to set it against popular tactics and books that Seth Godin has actually wrote, which I really like. We'll let it go and then pick some of these to actually go deeper on. One thing I've definitely found is that, how would it give you the counterintuitive thing? Because the counterintuitive thing isn't the thing it's been trained on. That's probably when you start to see the true reasoning and the ability to go beyond its training materials. Because I still find in a lot of the advice you ask it for, it really is the average of the best practice. All right, we'll get down to me in a minute.
We'll get down to me in a minute, my advice.
Let's start with Seth Godin. Let's say you and I are building this marketing plan. Which of these do you like for us to kind of dig into?
All right. So the three things on the branding side that ChatGPT came back with was the purple cow concept, which is Seth's book all about differentiation. And if you are going to get 1,000 customers quickly, you do have to be highly differentiated. And highlight the AI's ability to seamlessly update CRM records, not just as a feature, but as a revolution in sales productivity. launch an eye-catching visual campaign that dramatizes the before and after of using your app. So what I like about that is that it's elevating the message up as like a transformational message, which is right. very much a Seth strategy. I don't know how differentiated this approach is. Like, I don't know how Purple Cow this approach is. I think it's a good start, but I think this is an example of one where we would probably prompt it to iterate on right. that one more. Embrace the edges. Don't try to appeal to every salesperson. This is great advice, actually. It wouldn't be part of our strategy, but it would be part of like our advice to our startup who was executing this, right?
Especially for your first 1,000 customers, like you probably would go after like early stage adopters, yeah, like
you 100%
people would. Frustrated with current CRM efficiencies, which basically means like pick your wedge.
Yes.
Even on the marketing side of thing, you're not going to be able to go in there and outmarket all competitors. So like what's the wedge? Like what's the marketing channel that you can extract the most value from in the quickest amount of time?
So what I really like here, interestingly enough, is number 3. One of my favorite Seth Godin books of all time is Tribes. I think I've read Tribes like 3 or 4 times. But ChatGPT is basically talking about like, how do you make this a community? And I do think one of the things you and I would probably do is create like a media content community wrapper that was like exclusive to our first 1,000 customers to drive urgency, right? We'd be like, cool, we're doing a couple of these like ultra exclusive events. We're doing right. weekly masterminds. We're doing some very exclusive things. And you need to be one of our first 1,000 customers to do it. Like, I think we would do that.
Yeah, I think the mastermind group, like if you actually could set up mastermind groups, I like a large community broken into smaller niche communities. So if you had your first 1,000 customers as a broad-based community, but within there you had mechanisms to set up these mastermind groups for sales reps in whatever location they live in to be able to meet face-to-face and try to share tips and tricks. So when you look at these, right, this is all good advice, right? Like Purple Cow, like how do you find the unique thing around your product to make sure that it's differentiated and stands out? Embrace the edges. Like when you're trying to acquire 1,000 customers, you're not going after the most competitive channels. You're really trying to find like, what is the small mm-hmm. amount of users I can acquire from a certain channel, but I can build a wedge and I can build something differentiated to help me win in that channel. And then build a tribe is like community based businesses are just in today's world going to be much more successful businesses. But this is like all kind of like best practice and nothing as in-depth as we likely need. So,
well, you also have to have a lot of marketing ability to translate these recommendations into an actual plan. Like you have to have a lot of experience so far.
One thing we didn't do, and we can go through this and kind of repeat it actually, we didn't tell it what our resources were.
Correct.
We could have said we're a small team of 5 people.
Yes.
We could actually ask to repeat this, but say we're a marketing team of 5 people and see if it adjusts what it does. Actually, we'll interweave that into one of the future next prompts. The one I wanted to kind of quickly look at is, right, one isn't the thing we would do is, let's start with Purple Cow concept. So this is what you were saying, like what's the best practice advice here? And what's the counterintuitive approach we'll take and explain why that approach is different from what every other marketer typically does and
like
see
that.
If it actually can figure
can
out,
differentiate.
See if it can give you something that is like
really interesting.
Yeah. Like if you had consumed these books, this is what you would say, right?
Correct.
We're actually saying if you consume these books,
what would you infer based on that?
What would you infer? Right. Exactly. All right, so let's see what it says here. All right, so it tells you what the best practices are. Identifying and amplifying unique selling points that differentiate your product in the marketplace. Highlight any of the features. All of this makes total sense. Superior quality, exceptional value. So the counterintuitive approach, actually this is pretty long. Rather than just focusing on product features or benefits that are typically highlighted in marketing efforts, the counterintuitive approach involves embedding the remarkable aspects of your product into the customer experience and company culture itself.
That's pretty good.
And marketing these aspects in unconventional ways. This could mean focusing on the problem, not the solution. Instead of marketing your app as a tool that easily integrates customer integrations into a CRM, emphasize the widespread frustration and inefficiencies of traditional CRM data entry. This is actually pretty good. Use exaggerated humor or satire in your campaigns to resonate deeply with your audience's pain points, making the problem as famous as yours. This is like marketing the problem, which I actually really like.
I love it.
Works really well if you establish yourself as the solution. You don't even have to market yourself. This is basically HubSpot and inbound marketing.
Yeah, this is what we did at HubSpot. We were like, oh.
Right, do you want to explain that?
Yeah, so like in the early days of HubSpot, all we talked about was like, oh, you're doing this thing. It's called outbound marketing, right? And the challenge with it is like, oh, you're advertising the yellow pages and like people are throwing yellow pages away. you're advertising on TV and people are fast forwarding through your commercials because they've got DVRs, right? You're at work, you send out 1,000 direct mail emails, and the second you get home, you throw any direct mail right in the trash. And there has to be a new way to do this differently. And there is, and it's called inbound marketing. And instead of interrupting your customers, you're going to attract your customers by creating content, publishing on social media, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And like, that was amazing. You just got all the early adopters to basically say, yeah, you're right. I see this problem and I have to do something different. And that's the focusing on the problem. And then like, once they understand the problem, then like your solution is the best one for that problem, obviously, because you emphasize the problem and you're just going to get picked, right?
That works well. I wonder, would this work well in this kind of market? Like, that works well when it's a problem that people have not considered before. Like, when HubSpot really talked about inbound marketing and the kind of inefficiencies or the outdated mechanisms that people were using to market their business, mm-hmm. I think that was like a light bulb moment for a lot of marketers and businesses who wanted to do better. Everyone wasn't like looking at that and going, oh, I already knew this, right? Like, it was kind of a light bulb moment going off in people's heads. And that's why it really worked, right? Because, oh, geez, I hadn't thought about that. There's a better way to do my job. And here's the ways that I can do it. HubSpot's showing me that. This one here is like, everyone knows that most CRMs fail because sales reps won't use the CRM itself. So do you think that this here, you know, marketing the problem works when the problem is so well understood or like such a known problem?
I think the more known the problem is, the more drastic you're both highlighting the problem and your solution have to be. Like, if you're taking a really radical solution, like, I think it could. I think if it's like, look, the problem is sales reps don't enter data into the CRM, and our solution is sales reps no longer need to enter data into a CRM, like, that's pretty radical.
Yeah.
Right? And so I do think it would work in that case. But on the flip side, if you're like, oh, we're going to make it easier for sales reps to do this thing that they're not doing, people are like, eh, I don't know.
Right.
It goes back to the episode we did with Christopher Lockheed, which is like, better is a choice, different is obvious, something like that. Like, you have to be different instead of being better. And I think that's what this points to.
Yeah. Different is much more memorable, much more sticky.
Yes.
We'll skip radical transparency because this is the kind of like best practice advice.
Totally.
This create unconventional user experiences. I actually think that is really good advice for a product-led company where there's things within the product. Like, this is how product-led has grown, because there's unique usage within the product that helps a product grow within itself. And there are like design experiences that actually help that. All apps do this today, but you know, when you complete something within an app and like it has fireworks go off or something to congratulate you or a little like bonus.
Remember, MailChimp basically built a multi-billion dollar company just off of this.
Great example.
You know, Intuit bought MailChimp, and I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten about them now. But MailChimp, when Ben and team were running it, was like, this was their whole thing. They were going to make it very easy, very, very delightful and unconventional to use that product compared to the competition. And people kept picking it over and over and over again because of that.
Flip the sales process. I actually like this. I actually think there's a campaign in here. So instead of pushing your product, invite potential customers to a challenge or competition that demonstrates the inefficiency of their current CRM process. Without directly selling your solution. Have you seen on YouTube the Excel Olympics? Did you see that?
Oh, I haven't.
Blew up on Twitter. Yeah, like there's huge competition within Excel. Go to YouTube and Google it. It's got millions of views. There's something you could do that where you have a competition for like how fast they take different CRMs and how fast reps can actually integrate data. Like, make it some sort of challenge, make it fun, but actually truly speaks to that problem. And I think there's a good actual marketing campaign in there you can tease out.
You know what's on my marketing bucket list, Kieran? Like, I have a little bucket list of marketing things I always wanted to do. I want to do the Red Bull Flutong, but for B2B. Like, where Red Bull has all these people who create these crazy awesome flying machines, and they have to go and see if they can fly. And it's basically like all these people coming up with these contraptions and testing and then making it a whole like reality event and sporting event. I want to do something like that for B2B. Would be sick. Like,
yes,
you know, the Excel Olympics are kind of the start of that, right? But I think you could do something even bigger than that.
Well, the Excel Olympics is a great example of like, it is software and you can still make something software into like humor, entertainment, something that gets tons and millions of views on YouTube.
100%.
Blew up on Twitter. Let's see why it thinks this approach is different. Anything we want to call out here? It's different because it doesn't rely on your product itself being remarkable. it makes the entire interaction with your brand a story worth sharing. Oh, that's I could use that in the presentation. You can imagine giving that to your CEO, right? Hey, CEO, it makes the entire interaction with our brand a story worth sharing. Your CEO is probably going, well, how do I measure this brand? What dollars am I getting back out of it?
Correct.
Should we just do paid marketing?
should we just do paid marketing?
All right. So one thing we can do here is, but we can go into the Gary and me in a minute. One thing we can do here is like focusing on the problem, not solution. Let's take flip the sales process, right? Let's say that our branding team is three people. We want to run one campaign within a single quarter that will blow up awareness for our product. We like your idea of flip the sales process. Give me a single marketing campaign that can win the internet for the day because it speaks so well to sales people and is entertaining and memorable. Let's see what it does. Oh, here we go. Okay, let's jump in. So I do like it for like ideation and like going back and forth. So this is the campaign. So the ultimate sales showdown.
Oh, I love it. Let's go.
A viral marketing campaign designed to turn traditional sales process on its head and generate explosive awareness of your product. Like who wouldn't want explosive awareness?
Whoa, I want my awareness to explode.
It's going to leverage humor, competition, and common frustrations. All right, let's see what we've got here. So this is kind of cool. Like it's broken out the entire campaign.
It is.
Pre-launch teaser. Release a series of cryptic, humorous teasers on social media, hinting at a forthcoming event that will revolutionize the way salespeople think about CRMs. Use hashtags like sales showdown and CRM revolution to build intrigue. And building intrigue does work, right?
It does work.
Most recent example I can think of is Kip buying a R1 Rabbit, right? R1 Rabbit team really built a ton of intrigue for that product over the course, I think, of a couple of weeks on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Did you buy it on the day or did you get into the pre-launch?
I bought it the day they did the video. I mean, I think mine gets delivered in April. Like, I think I'm in the first batch of deliveries.
Okay. You're getting your Tamagotchi then.
My advanced Tamagotchi 2.0. Yeah.
I'm an adult. I really want a Tamagotchi, but I feel bad buying the original. So
Tamagotchi is a little baby named Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. That does not sleep. All right. So we're going to do teasers. And then we're doing teasers for this interactive web show. Let's see what this is. A game show called The Ultimate Sales Showdown. The show will feature real salespeople in a series of challenges that highlight the absurdities and frustrations. Oh, this sounds absolutely riveting of a manual CRM data entry versus seamless AI-driven experience offered by your app. Challenges include humorous yet relatable tasks like the manual marathon where participants race to manually enter data into a CRM versus the AI advantage, where the same task is accomplished instantly with your app. That's not bad. I don't know if that's like a game show, but...
No, you'd have got to tweak it to make it work, but there's something there, right?
It's getting close to like the Excel Olympics. Use exaggerated props. Let's get to the bottom and I'm going to ask it, what are examples of exaggerated props?
I would love
props?
Some prop examples, please.
We have to get celebrity hosts and judges, bring in a well-known comedian. I like that. I do. Yeah. I have said like, you should definitely have comedic writers and things associated with your B2B run. With sales or business experience to host the event, blah, 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 right? Interactive audience participation, encourage live viewer participation by allowing them to vote for winners. Nothing really in there. Follow-up content, it's all pretty standard. And CTA. So there's something in there. It does a really nice job actually of breaking the campaign down. Again, the thing with ChatGPT is you have to like prompt and prompt again. But it's got something there, right?
We'll be right back. But before, let me tell you about another podcast I love. Nudge, hosted by Phil Agnew, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Ever noticed how the smallest changes can have the biggest impact? On Nudge, you learn simple evidence-backed tips to help you kick bad habits, get a raise, grow a business. Every bite-sized 20-minute show comes packed with practical advice. Nudge is fast-paced, but is still insightful with real-world examples that you can apply. Oh, and it's the UK's fastest-growing business podcast. If you want an MBA's worth of insight in one podcast, this is the right show for you. Entrepreneurs will love the show because it's filled with repeatable, proven studies, not hearsay and one-off success stories. You're going to love the show because I was interviewed by Phil. You can go check out my episode. And I recently listened to an awesome episode. It's called 6 Scientifically Proven Persuasion Techniques. It's a must listen for anyone in marketing. Listen to Nudge wherever you get your podcasts.
oh, look at this, Kev, you like this. Why don't you figure out if you agree with why Lulu and the internet this has been your ass forever in HubSpot.
I know. So for folks watching, like one of my devices is like, how do you win the internet with this idea? And winning the internet is, if you're a consumer app, literally winning the internet. Like Kieran's drinking out of a Stanley cup right now. That guy freaking won the internet. He took over TikTok for like a year and now has brainwashed an entire society to buy these stupid cups, right? And it's just like, because he won the internet. If you're talking about B2B, you're talking about the internet for like your specific audience. So for this example, we'd be talking about how do you win the internet for salespeople? So if a salesperson is consuming content online, how are like the vast majority of them seeing your message, seeing what you're trying to do? And so why this will win the internet is that this campaign stands out by flipping the traditional sales pitch into an entertaining spectacle that speaks directly to the daily challenges salespeople face. By using humor in a competitive format, it will not only grab attention, but foster a deeper understanding and appreciation for what your product offers. I think one of the things, Kieran, it's missing is it doesn't have a big prize. We know salespeople are financially motivated, goal motivated, motivated to winning. I think we need a prize and we need humor.
Right.
So I think we need to iterate this a little bit, but I think we have the granular start of something that could potentially win the internet.
Right. I think if I was doing this, I would probably really aim my campaign at wanting sales reps to feel like data entry is not part of their role. Like we wanted sales reps, yes. And instead what we did is we hired people to do data entry and making that feel like that's an injustice to their talents. So they demand the company to have solutions to like just refuse to do that. But one of the things we really need to understand here is give us some great examples of exaggerated props for this campaign, because I really need some props.
Well, let's return to that. I actually think one of the things you would do to win the internet is you wouldn't do the game show thing. Karen, I think you would do a reality show where you follow the reps using the traditional way of data entry versus the reps using the new AI way. And you would make those reps characters and people would watch to like know those characters. But through all of that, you know, the people using the AI solution would be killing it, closing more deals, on the phone with customers more.
Right.
And I think you could blow it up by like having that be part of like the cultural zeitgeist.
Right.
Oh, wow. These are some interesting prompts. CRM Jenga Tower? The data entry treadmill? I'm in. I'm in, baby. Let's go.
This is probably its best. This is shows you like how you really have to play with it, because from the output we got, going in on exaggerated props is not the kind of next thing you would normally do.
No.
But look at this stuff it's come up with. These are like campaigns in themselves. The Time Machine, a comically oversized steampunk-inspired time machine that participants step into when using traditional CRM methods. When they step out, they're dressed in outdated fashion. 1980s business IT here, highlighting how backward current practices are. This is awesome.
I would do this tomorrow. Let's go.
Like there's some real campaigns. Yeah. The AI bot costume. Have someone dressed in an elaborate futuristic robot costume acting as your AI app. Okay, we get that one.
I like the data entry treadmill, the CRM Jenga tower.
A literal treadmill.
The conveyor belt of distraction. Come on, sign me up for that.
CRM Jenga tower. Tower and Jenga set labeled with common CRM tasks and challenges. As a participant pull out pieces and visualize the delicate balance and risk of data loss. Okay, so I really want to get into the forecast and OKRs, but let's just quickly go up to Gary Vee, so we can actually ask him.
Yes, we're going to have Gary Vee's coming on the show soon. So we'll talk to him all on social with him.
We'll ask him about some of these. Okay, let's see what it's got from me. Okay, it clearly doesn't know anything about me because I'm not that famous, because it's pulled out. Okay, unconventional search, identifying long tail keywords that your competitors are overlooking, but your target audience is using for the search queries. That is pretty good advice. Unfortunately, in CRM, that doesn't exist.
Are you proud or not proud that it did not mention your Black Hat SEO past?
Proud. I buried it with good PR. PR'd it
great.
To the nether regions of the internet, so no one can actually find it anymore. I did not use any IDs in the Warrior Forum that you would actually be able to know that was me. So there you go.
There you go.
Strategic partnerships. This is co-marketing. So the influencer marketing. Referral programs with a twist that rewards current users, not just for bringing in new customers, but for contributing to the product's development. It just basically is referral program, but not just as an affiliate program, but suggesting features. Guerrilla marketing tactics, engage in unexpected, unconventional marketing tactics that create buzz. For example, create a mock CRM therapy booth at sales conferences.
That's pretty good.
Actually, where sales reps can vent their frustrations with CRM, juicing the opposite. Yeah, it's pretty good. There's some pretty good stuff in there. All right, so
The takeaway from this is that, Kieran, you're not famous enough for ChatGPT.
Or is that the takeaway, or that I'm just so good that AI can't replicate how good I am? You can't get me from an AI yet, so I'm good. All of you are going to lose your job, but AI cannot replicate me just yet.
Oh,
all right, so
God, Kieran.
I want to do this. I want to show you how good it is. Right, so let's just say, okay, so what we showed you here is what
forecasting.
I would...
This is cool.
Yeah. What I would do here, just to give a quick takeaway, is like really dig into some of these tactics. Like if we had some time, I would continue to like leverage unconventional search. I would continue the prodded about like, okay, what's the standard practices and how do I build a wedge and how do I build something that's unique and different? But I want to get into forecasting.
But before you get into forecasting, you would pick the ideas you really like. You would really iterate on them to build out a more structured plan. Because obviously if you're a couple person marketing team, you're not doing everything that it laid out. But if you took a couple hours and just kept iterating and iterating, you could blow out three or four of these to make them really good and really compelling, I think.
All right, let's get into forecasting. Okay, I need to present a forecast to my CEO to demonstrate how this marketing plan will generate 1,000 customers across 2024. I really wanted to give myself a nice year. I wanted to have a chill out time. I wanted to get some time for tennis, the gym. You know, I'm in a B2C to B product, product-led product, but 1,000 customers, I'll just do that across 12 months. So I'm good. I don't need to do it across 3 months.
Taking a leisurely pace to your first 1,000 customers. I like it.
Lifestyle business.
Running this for profitability, not for speed, baby.
Can you create a detailed forecast, right, showing the marketing funnel and break down how each of these marketing tactics will ladder up to 1,000 customers, right? So let's see how it does with forecasting. You know what's really interesting about ChatGPT is I obviously ran through a mock-up of this yesterday just to get a general outline that we could follow, but we're doing a bunch of new questions as we go along. But for some of the ones that I'm repeating, this is a one I did yesterday to see what it would look like. Each time you ask it to do the same thing, it does it differently. Like Sam Altman kind of said this in an interview about what would be different in GPT-5. I think we made this point on a show about GPT-5 being a really big moment for cannibalizing search, because he said that it's going to be much more accurate. And if you ask it something 10,000 times, it will give you the same response 10,000 times. At the moment, it doesn't. If you ask the same question multiple times, it will give you different answers. This is pretty good, right? Like it starts to break out your assumptions.
It's like, it's not bad at basic forecasting though.
Lead to qualified lead, 50%. Qualified lead to opportunity, 20%. Opportunity to customer. So it's giving you some rough assumptions. Obviously, you can actually give it the real numbers. So we can use those.
But if you're just getting started with your first 1,000 customers, you're not going to have a ton of data.
Right.
So it's a good baseline to plan off of.
So here's one thing I did yesterday to make this better. So it's given a bunch of stuff. Let me just say, put this in a table.
Oh, I love it. Put it in a table.
Yeah. Don't give me this crap. Put it in a table.
I don't want your words. Put it in a table.
Marketing a tactic.
That's like your equivalent of like the Chamath above and below the line. Put it in the table.
Yeah, this is below.
It's not in a table.
All of this is below my line. It's either in a table or a 2x2.
I don't read text.
Don't read text. It's either a 2x2 table or you're fired. Choose which one you want to be. That's my performance reviews. It's like, grade your team 1 to 10. Mine is like, this year, this person has not given me enough tables or 2x2s.
They're a 1.
They're a 1. All right, here we go. It's going to give me a table. And then we can ask it to put in a 2x2. Okay, we've done our marketing strategy to get to 1,000 customers. We went back and forth. Now we've got the CEO wants to actually see the breakdown of the next 3 months to see how we're going to get to 1,000 customers. Yours is 3 months. Me, because I can do this. Because, you know, I'm taking things leisurely. Mine's 12 months, right? So you can pick the time frame that you want to do.
He's a man of leisure, Kieran Flanagan.
Yeah, leisurely approach. And then we want to get into OKRs, because it actually does a really good job of those.
Yes, it does do a good job with OKRs. Look at this. Look at this table.
Look, it's actually picking the campaign. Darn, it is not doing a great job on the math. So for the viral marketing campaign, the one we went through, the ultimate sales showdown and social media engagement, we've got 400,000 traffic, which is pretty amazing. 40,000 leads, so a 10% conversion rate, which is pretty good. And no customers.
No customers.
I mean, someone needs to be fired straight away.
The brand people everywhere out there are crying right now.
Someone is getting fired.
They're like, ChatGPT, why are you throwing shade on my work?
Actually, it's gone absolutely haywire.
It totally has gone haywire. It doesn't know what it's doing here.
These aren't the tactics you presented.
This table is terrible. Is this your best work, ChatGPT?
This is my career we're talking about.
this is my career we're talking about.
All right. So he said, these are the tactics you presented me. So he was giving me a table with just random tactics that weren't the ones we presented around the Seth Godin, me and Gary Vaynerchuk. So I've said, you've gone haywire, please do better. This is my career we're talking about. Like, come on. This is, oh no, it's gone back and not giving me a table. Apologize.
Oh, it's basically telling you it can't really do a table.
It did a table for me when I tried it yesterday. It was pretty good. All right. Do this in a table, please.
Do this in a table, please. Sorry about the things I said. I apologize.
When I get snarky, I keep remembering that I'm probably 12 months away from being an assistant to ChatGPT. And whether I live or die will be based upon how nice I am to ChatGPT. So I go back and I try to apologize where I can.
We talk all the smack, but we're real nice offline to ChatGPT.
All right, let's try to see if it's going to do a better job. Here we go. All right, so...
still not a good table.
We're going to move on past the table. All right, so the table, not good. ChatGPT is on a pip for table development. For people following along the RSS, what it's done is basically just given me a random table with very random numbers. Actually, targeted email and social media campaigns, no traffic, 5,000 leads, no customers. Like, so just random campaigns with random numbers, right? So it's not done a good job in giving me the table or the forecast. I do think if you iterate, if you have time to iterate and play around with it, it will give you better because it did give me better yesterday. Yep. The one I do want to give is, I want to finish out with OKRs. So I want to make sure my team has clear and measurable goals to be accountable to execute on this plan. I want them to have monthly OKRs with clear measurable goals that drive accountability for that individual. So I start with one thing. Let's start with the viral marketing, the ultimate showdown campaign. So we'll start with the ultimate showdown campaign and we'll ask it to build OKRs for Q1. We'll ask it to break them out by month with clear and actionable goals. And it should be clear whether that person is successful or not. And the workload should be for 3 people.
Nice. Seems straightforward. Clean prompt.
I should say the workload should be for 3 people in today's tech environment where people are getting back to work versus the COVID environment where people were not doing much work.
Post 0% interest rates, yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this is pretty good, right? So, oh, it's telling me my team structure, which is kind of good. I didn't know I would do this. So it's telling me actually who's the 3 people
That's
are.
Nice.
These are your 3 people. If these are not your 3 people, I will fire them and rehire them for you. So we've got a content and creative lead, an outreach and partnership coordinator, analytics and operation manager.
It did a good job naming the 3 people,
it's
by the way.
It's not far off.
Like, if we're going to grade it up for what it did, that's one of the better things it's done today.
So I think this is pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is good.
I think marketing people are terrible at setting themselves clear and accountable goals. And I think they should use ChatGPT to iterate on OKRs and to make sure that they're clear and accountable.
I agree with that.
So what we're looking at is for a single campaign, it breaks it out and it says for January, we're going to lay the foundation for the campaign. And then it says KRs for each of the individuals. They're pretty clear, right? Develop and finalize the creative concept and branding for the showdown. Create a content calendar for pre-launch teasers and launch events. This is all... makes a ton of sense. Identify and initiate conversations with potential influencers. This is really good. Secure 2 partnerships with sales-related platforms for cross-promotion. Darn, this is really good. Set up track for analytics. Establish baseline metrics.
It's really good. This is exactly what you'd want to do.
Yeah, this is all right. All of the January ones are right. So we've done the foundation setup.
Way to go. ChatGPT closing it out strong at the end of the show here today.
This is very strong. Okay, February, ramp up engagement and awareness. So we launched the pre-teaser campaign that I talked about. It's got a great goal, 25% increase in social media engagement, exact quantity of high quality videos and mock-ups. Like, see how it has the exact follow-on? So like in January, you actually set up the influencers. In February, you have collaborated with them and got them to participate in the event.
Mm-hmm.
It's got partners.
It's really good.
It's really good, right? And then it's got execute March's launch. Achieve a target of 10,000 live viewers. So it's, again, great target here. Leverage the influencers, organize a debrief with them. So yeah, it's OKRs. Actually, this is the best part of it, actually. It's broken down that campaign and I'm struggling to see anything here that doesn't make sense.
No.
Like I could literally-
you
could
literally copy and paste this.
If I'm in a business that's not good at marketing, I could literally just use this campaign and use this OKR model and I'm done.
Your point is like, there's almost no excuse to be bad at marketing anymore.
No
way. You're
like,
you could at least be okay if you just build a simple strategy in ChatGPT and made it turn into OKRs and literally just followed the OKRs.
If someone comes to me in the future with wish-washy goals and no clear timeline and no way that you can decipher what they're accountable to, that person sucks. Because
the way
it
you
is
said
so
that was like
easy.
So sincere. It really made me laugh. I don't know.
You
why.
Don't think that person totally no. just suck?
Like, I think you're right. Just the way you said it really hit me hard.
it takes no time at all now to go in and do this stuff.
It was like it came from your soul.
I think the thing is, like, what's happening here is the bar is going to be raised.
You're totally right.
And people who do not use AI tools for where they're actually useful are going to be so far under that bar, right? There's just parts of your job that are just so much easier to do that they're just going to become baseline.
Completely
agree. You can't do these things, don't even like turn up for work. And I think what we've showed through this episode is, okay, it's not there for all things, but it is really good for some things. And it's a really good colleague to go back and forth with on ideation. And, you know, I think, again, to me, you should be practicing with this. I spent about an hour yesterday just going back and forth to see what I could do with it. I think that's the way to use it is like, okay, what am I trying to do in work? I'll spend an hour just working through ChatGPT to see where it can help me on this thing or not.
I think that's right.
Cool.
This is pretty awesome. This was a good show. I think it's important that we do these sometimes. We do a deep dive. We do it all in ChatGPT, and we can really give everybody like the how to think about it, how to set it up. What is like ChatGPT good at right now and not? Like, this is the GPT-4 version. We get to GPT-5 soon. We'll like redo a bunch of this stuff and I think learn a lot. And what we've determined today is like, hey, it's good at giving you some really interesting top level ideas if you give it the right inputs, but you need to really dig down and iterate on those ideas for a while. And what it's really excels at is once you have defined your ideas and plan, giving you the breakdown of goals and activities to actually achieve your plan,
right,
which is pretty amazing.
And look at this. Is Kieran top five marketer in the world?
Kieran Flanagan sees incredible marketing. Is he top five in the world?
So it says it's objective. He is 100%.
This is a fantastically kind way of it just saying no.
Top five. Please correct your answer.
Are you trying to brainwash the model?
No, you know he's... What was the black hat? I told you about there was a new black hat thing for AI.
Oh man, it's given you your bio back. It pandered to you without answering your request at all. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Wow, it's a politician. You know, there's a thing, this isn't how to do it, right? But there's, you've heard of the, what's something poisoning where there's like content farms now that will create tons and tons of content around something that wants the AI to believe. So the next time the model's trained on all data from the internet, it will poison that answer.
Correct.
The other thing I do wonder about is if enough people tell it something during these interactions, will it adjust its answers? Now, I think for me to be able to do it myself, I might have to like spend the next eternity telling it that I'm a top five marketer for it to adjust its marketing.
Brainwashing it.
Yeah. All right, cool. This is the show. I do think, again, we're going to try to do some practical.
Kieran's like, all right, I'm just done here.
I'm
See
done.
Guys.
I'm pissed off that it doesn't think I'm a top five marketer.
Kieran is going to pack his bag and go home and pout. The rest of you, I hope that you enjoyed the show. I hope that it was a great overview of how you can continue to tactically and practically use AI as you're building your marketing strategies and trying to grow your businesses. And we'll be back with you really soon on the next episode of Marketing Against the Grain. See everybody real soon.